shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Thankful for the prayer that's been offered and asked for your ongoing prayers on my behalf. I stand before you tonight. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. I've had a passage of Scripture on my mind for the last several days, and it continues to be there tonight. I was a bit hesitant about it this morning because I've been thinking about it throughout the week, and then Brother Daddy came to Summer Duck and immediately went in to stand and read this text in the hearing of everybody, and so I felt like, well, maybe that's where I should be, and made an effort to speak along with him from this passage this morning. Tonight, I still find my mind and thoughts pretty much centered upon this passage, so we'll follow the leadership of the Lord the best we know how, and you pray for me that I'll do that, and look together tonight for a little while at the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I'd like to read in your hearing. We'll probably read down through about the 14th verse and maybe some more here. But we'll begin right at verse 1, that very familiar verse that we've heard so many times. Pray the Lord would just bless us tonight to share with you from this portion of Scripture the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. For it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he felt to be a debtor. He was a debtor unto all men. And as a debtor, he didn't owe them money, but he felt as a debtor unto the Lord, he desired to share the truth with all of those that the Lord would send him to and bless him to be able to speak to. And the truth that he wanted to share is the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel does not bring life, but the gospel does shine a light in your life. On the life that the Lord has given you and allow you to know and to be able to understand better what the Lord has indeed done for us so that we would live our lives with meaning and purpose and live in a way of obedience to the Lord, which is always in our best interest. It is in our best interest to live our lives in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. It's a way of peace. It's a way of joy. It's a way of rest. It's a way that the Lord has given us here in this world to escape the troubles. Not all the problems that you're going to have the problems. You're going to have the troubles, but you have a deliverance in and from the problems, in them and sometimes out of them, as we trust and lean upon the Lord. Tonight we did sing that. That hymn, Trust and Obey, really sums up a lot of what's found in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. It's about trusting in the Lord, believing in Him. And when we do that, we find a great peace and a rest that's in our lives as God's children. He says in the very first verse, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a promise we have here recorded in the pages of God's Word for us as God's children tonight. He says, right in the beginning, let not your heart be troubled. And there's a great message in that, isn't it? Let not your heart be troubled. Now, the word let means that's something that we're not to allow, that's something we're not to have happen. We're not to let it happen. We could let it happen. If you can let not it happen, you can let it happen. Tonight, we really at a place where either we're going to let our hearts be troubled, or we're going to let not our hearts be troubled. We're going to be either letting them, or we're not going to let them. Now, this is not a general declaration or invitation or that which is given to all mankind just generally, so that you as a natural man can either choose or not choose to follow, believe, trust the Lord, and let your heart not be troubled or be troubled. This is specifically given unto a people that he identifies here as those who believe in God. Now, he says that. He didn't say believe in God. He says ye believe in God. He makes a statement, you believe in God. Now, tonight, I believe in the Lord. As much as in me is, I believe in the Lord. I believe that God is the one who put that beautiful moon up in the sky that we saw tonight as we were traveling down the road, and I looked up in that sky and saw that beautiful handiwork of God. He said he's the one who made the lesser light as well as the greater light, the light of the sun. The Lord put the sun in the sky. He also put the moon in the sky. And as a matter of fact, he made light even before he put that sun and that moon in the sky. And God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that tonight. The Lord created the heavens and the earth. Now, not all men believe that. There are men who are fools in this world that do not believe in the Lord. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we're not being hard on them. We also know that if it were not for God's grace, if it had not been for God coming to us somewhere in our state of death we were in by nature, we would be right among that group that would have no, absolutely no belief in God, no trust in God, no dependence in God. We just would be trying to figure out how in the world we get here in this world. We wouldn't recognize God made the heavens and the earth and made us, and that God created all that is. Once the Lord has worked on your heart, it just seems ridiculous to think that all of this just happened to be. But prior to the work of grace in your life, it seems ridiculous to believe that there's a God who made it all. And just as one is blind to those things, before the Lord works in our life, we're completely blind to that. The Bible says the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. That means all his thoughts is there is no God. And he doesn't like to think about God, because if there's a God, he's going to have to be accountable to somebody. And none of us want to be by nature accountable to anybody. We want to be our own man, our own woman, our own boss, our own, have it our own way. And we were happy in that until somewhere in our life, in the new birth. And I don't know when that happened to you, but I know you're sitting in an old Baptist church tonight, which is kind of a peculiar place to be. And you didn't come here to hear about the things you could do for the Lord. Because, matter of fact, if I started talking about that, most of you would be upset enough about it that you would either leave now, or you wouldn't come back later, or you tell me, I don't know what's happened to you, Brother Gary, but you've lost it. There's something that's not right about what you taught tonight. You're here tonight to hear about a God who has all power. I need a God who has all power, don't you? That's the kind of God I need. Matter of fact, more important than what I need, if I'm going to declare God, and I do need a God of all power, but God has all power, despite what I think about it, about what I feel about it, whether I preach it tonight, whether I share it with you tonight, whether I preach it, I want to preach it from this pulpit, but my preaching doesn't make God any greater. God is as great as He can be. All I can do is just begin to talk about Him and give Him the glory and the praise and the honor that He so richly deserves, because God has all power. Our God is in the heavens. That's where our God is. Now, there are people who say, where is your God? You know, you'll be sometimes even in your own life. And I want you to see this tonight. Thomas was an apostle that was called of the Lord. And yet Thomas, after hearing these things, you'd think, well, Thomas would know just exactly what the Lord was talking about. And it seems like Thomas just didn't have a clue, didn't he? And yet the Lord had just said, Thomas, you know this. He'd already told him. He says, you know the way. Y'all know the way. He said that here. He says, whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Get that in verse 4, because he says in verse 4 that all the disciples, all of them, he says, whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. In other words, Jesus had told them that he had come into this world and that he was going to die on the tree of the cross and that he was going to pay the sin debt and that he was going to rise again and that the payment was going to be made and he was going to ascend to the Father and he was going to sit down on the right hand of the Father. He said unto them, he says, I am the way. He says, whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He said that. And then Thomas goes and says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. In other words, we don't know where you're going. We'll say, well, who's right? Is the Lord right or is Thomas right? Well, we know the answer to that question, don't we? You see, what Thomas had done is forget what he knew. What Thomas was doubting what he knew. What Thomas was getting in the flesh and not in the spirit, thinking naturally rather than spiritually, thinking carnally rather than spiritually. He became looking through the eyes of his flesh. He became reasoning with his own understanding, trying to get it all figured out, trying to sort all this out in a natural way and not accepting things spiritually. And I said to you, you and I get in trouble, don't we, when we stop thinking spiritually and start thinking naturally. We start thinking about that our homes naturally, and all we'll see is everything that's wrong. We'll be able to write a list. You know, all the things that are just wrong with where I live, and wrong with where I work, and wrong with the nation I live in, and wrong with my family. And I can write a list on this one and that one, and then it'll come right in, and if it gets in the church, the next thing you know, and naturally minded, we can write a list. We can have a whole big thing. And it isn't because we don't know, it's because we have forgotten. And that's what the gospel... See, the gospel is to come to those who have troubled hearts, and who have gotten naturally minded, and who have gotten carnal in their thinking. And it reminds them again of the goodness of an almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. Listen, our God is in the heavens. That's why it's so good tonight to be able to come and say hallelujah and praise unto Him. And remember and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. For our God created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who had made us. And we are the sheep of His pasture. And we're here tonight to give Him praise and honor and glory. And you say, well, I don't always understand that fully. Neither did Thomas. And sometimes I get just like Thomas. And I've seen some of you get like Thomas. And y'all seen me get like Thomas. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in our church family and in our lives sometimes. And what a mess. I've seen strong men get to be a real mess. I've seen faithful little sisters fall to pieces. And you say, well, how could that be if they're really God's children? Listen, we have a nature in us that's prone to wander. As the hymn writer said, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And how easy it seems like we can slip off from this truth. And that's why we need to hear it again and again and again. And we need to remind one another of it. And we need to pray with one another and pray for one another. Lord, keep us faithful. Number one, keep us believing in Thee. And then also in the Son. Because to believe in the Father is to believe in the Son. And to believe in the Father and the Son is also to believe in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
And to believe in the God of heaven is to believe in a triune God, a God who has all power. Listen, I don't have the power tonight to keep myself, but God does. I don't have the power tonight to save myself, but God does. I don't have the power. I can't keep my heart beating this moment. All I can do is hope it keeps beating. I don't have any control over it. I can't make it go. If I could slow it up or speed it down, I'd go to a doctor every time and they'd put that cuff on me and I'd have perfect blood pressure. But they'd slap a cuff on me just as soon as they stopped it on me. And next thing you know, my blood pressure is going up because, you know, just because they're taking it. Now sometimes they'll look at me and say, "You need to be on blood pressure medicine." I said, "I'm already on blood pressure medicine." And I said, "Just wait a minute, let us calm down and take it again," and then it comes down. Well, see, I don't control that. I'm not in control. But listen, I know one who can control all my troubles, all my cares, all my problems in the sight of God. I have a God, and you and I have a God who has the ability. He made the heavens and the earth and everything that is. Isn't that wonderful? And while we're living, He's got all. We're in His hands. And when we die, we're in His hands. And He's made some promises to us here in John 14 that are real, that you and I need to hear them and believe them. That no wonder He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, I've had folks tell me, "Don't be worried about it," and they don't really have a clue. They can't help me. They just said, "Don't worry about it." No, they ain't gonna worry because it ain't their problem. It's my problem. And so they said, "Don't worry about it." I'm saying to you tonight, you and I don't need to worry about it from the Word of God. And not on my word or my authority. If you're looking for me for help, you're in trouble. Because I need help and you need help. And we have to find help from somebody a whole lot bigger than us. And if we're looking to ourselves for help, no wonder we're in trouble. That's why I'm in need sometimes. Because I've stopped trusting in the Lord who is my supply, and I've tried to figure it out myself and tried to work it out myself and tried to do it myself. And I've not leaned on the source and the strength and the power that is in the Lord. I can't do anything in me, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which strengthens me through the power of Almighty God. I can face the trials and the troubles and the problems of life and not just exist, not just get by, but I can be an overcomer by faith. And even to the point that I can ask for that whatever, as he says here, "Let our request be made known unto God." He says, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now we need to rightly divide that, don't we? There's a lot of people tonight misusing that text. I don't want to be guilty of misusing it, but I also don't want to be guilty of not using it at all. You know, that text is in the Bible. Jesus said, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Some people say that means if I want a Mercedes Benz, I just say, "Lord, give me a Mercedes Benz," and He will do it, because that's what He said in His Word. Listen, that's not asking according to the love of God, nor the will of God, nor in His name. You know, when you're asking in His name, that means more than just saying the name of Jesus. That means in agreement with His name, in agreement with His will, in agreement with what He's taught in His Word. That means we've lined our thinking up with His thinking, and our wants with His wants, and our desires with His desire. And if we truly needed a Mercedes Benz, the Lord's certainly able to supply that. What it's saying is whatever it is you truly need, God will supply. And for most of us, that would probably be one of the worst things we could get. Not necessarily, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. I'm saying God is not like a big Santa Claus up in the sky just giving Him a wish list and He just supplies. He doesn't spoil His children. He supplies us with our daily bread. He gives us food and raiment. He's promised that. And He says, "Be with food and raiment, be content." And godliness with contentment is great gain. And when we look to the Lord and we need something, I'm saying to you tonight, whatever your need is, you may be very troubled tonight. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? He says, "Ye believe in God." Now get that. He didn't say believe in God. It says ye believe in God. That means it's talking to those who believe in God. When you find someone who believes in God, you have found a child of God. Because it's only God's children who believe. Some people say you believe to become a child. The Bible teaches you that you believe because you are a child. And that's a big difference. The reason that you and I are able to believe is because we've been given the gift of faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit before you have faith. When you're born of the Spirit, you're given faith, which is the ability to believe and trust in the Lord. Then you're able to trust in the Lord. And how did that happen? If I believe to get saved, what does that mean when I don't believe? Because sometimes you and I fall in unbelief. Does that mean I lose my salvation? Well, if my belief is what gained it, then shouldn't my failing to believe cause me to lose it? The Bible doesn't teach that. What the Bible teaches us that our salvation is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are born of His Spirit, and in the work of the new birth, He teaches us, giving us the spirit of adoption, we're able to cry, Abba Father, which is a cry of faith, and that we're able to believe. And you believe in God. And you just know He is. Nobody has to come and tell you He is, because you know He is. Preacher didn't tell you He was. Mom and Daddy didn't tell you He was. You just know that He's talked with you. You felt Him. And sometimes you may question. You may have doubts and concerns, just like Brother Thomas. But you know that's coming out of another. You got a warfare. Do you have a warfare going on inside of you? You see, the man of the world doesn't have a warfare. He's all completely convinced that there's nobody here but him. And science and whatever thing explains the universe. And he's not worried about that. But it's God's little children who've been awakened to know there's somebody that created this that I'm answerable to, and I'm troubled about it. And I'll tell you get a troubled heart when you've been born of the Spirit and don't know the truth. The heart of man, the Bible says in Jeremiah, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Man will tell me, other men, if you just give your heart to the Lord, then you can be born of the Spirit. Listen, if that heart hadn't been touched by the hand of God, it isn't fit to give to the Lord. Because it's desperately deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. The only time that our heart is truly can be attuned to the Lord is when we've had a circumcised heart. Listen, a heart that's been changed and worked on. When He, in the new birth, changed our way of thinking. Somewhere in your life, your thinking got changed. Something happened. Hymn writer said, He touched me. Now, you know, He touched me. And everything's changed. That doesn't mean I don't have some of the same old wants and same old desires and same old flesh to contend with. But there's another law that's there. That when I go after those things, I don't feel right. I get a conscience that troubles me. I get burden in my heart. I lose my joy. Listen, if you've never had joy, you can't lose it. You see, love, joy, peace, joy, those are fruit of the Spirit. It isn't just faith that's a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those fruit in the life of a little child of God give evidence that you are His child. And yet as we face the troubles of this world and we operate in the flesh, sometimes we don't walk in those fruit of the Spirit, and we lose that joy and that peace, and you get troubled. You ever become troubled? Well, there's an answer for us tonight. And I'm saying to you, don't be troubled. I'm saying it to me more than I'm saying it to you. Y'all getting it second. I'm saying it to me. Let not your heart be troubled. You say, how can I not let it be troubled? Well, He said, you believe in God. I believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Somebody said, well, what's the value in believing in Jesus? Let me tell you, it's everything. Believing in Jesus. Believing in who He is. Believing in what He's done. Believing in His love for us. Believing in His finished work at Calvary. Believing in His sacrifice and that which was offered. Believing in Him as our high priest, who offered Himself also as a perfect sacrifice. For the sin of His people, He died at Calvary, paid a sin debt. Your sin debt, my sin debt. What we owed, He paid. What our sins were taken from us and placed upon Him. And all they were moved from us as far as the east is from the west. So we no longer have to be under the bondage of that sin. Sometimes we say, I just don't think I can do any better. No, in ourselves we can't. But in Him we can, because He's given us the liberty and power. And so we don't have to be under the bondage of sin when we look to Him. Listen, you ask Him for deliverance, the Bible says He'll give it. What I say doesn't matter, but when the Bible says it, you can count on it. He will give you deliverance. But it takes belief, doesn't it? I got to believe Him. So how can I believe Him? Well, He'll give you faith too. He's the author of our faith. He's not only the author, He's the finisher. That means He not only starts it, He finishes it. And when we look to Him and walk by faith and trust Him and lean upon Him, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. I love to think about this, because this is a sweet and wonderful promise that not only takes care of heaven and immortal glory and all that awaits us when we die, but also right here in this time world, the blessings of Almighty God have been given to us. A mansion is really here in the Scripture talking about a place of heavenly abode where you have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It is something we're going to enjoy in heaven. It's something our loved ones have already entered into when they leave this world in death. It's something that awaits us as God's little children. But before we even die and leave this world, there are places that He has allowed us to have where we've sat together with Him in mansions. And every time we have that, listen, every time you have a time of deliverance. You know, I think of the many, many times, the many, many meetings I've been blessed to be able to sit in and feel the Lord's presence. Feel like He just sat there right on the bench with me, or has been in the pulpit with me. All the communications I've had on the phone with brethren. Or I've had in hard times, sometimes about by the side of someone on their very deathbed, so to speak. And I felt the Lord's presence there. I know He's been there. He's made that place a place of heavenly abode where you felt the Lord's presence. And you feel Him near. And listen, when you can feel the Lord near, you can handle anything. And when you can't feel Him, it doesn't really matter what's going on. You're in trouble. He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. What does that mean? That means He did some preparation for us at Calvary. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Listen, Jesus went to the cross. That's what He said. I'm the way, you know. He says, where I go, you know. And whether I go, you know. And the way, you know. He was saying, I'm going to the cross. And what happened at the cross? Well, at the cross, He paid a sin debt we could not pay. At the cross, the price was paid so that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. At the cross, the blessings we get in time have come to us in a righteous way, because, you see, God could not have shown us favor and would not have shown us favor if somebody hadn't paid the sin debt. You see, the only thing I would have deserved if it was just left up to me is what the Bible says the wages of sin is. And the wages of sin is not a good thing. It's death. He has not given us that which we deserve according to His, as far as our just deserts. He has shown us mercy and grace, and He took what we deserved and poured out on His only begotten Son, and then He took what His Son earned and merited and has given it freely unto us. And if you and I can just sit tonight and believe that, we can find peace right now in our heart. And brethren, I'll be honest. I want you to leave here tonight with peace in your heart. I want you to be trusting in the Lord. I want you to believe in His Son. I want you to understand what Jesus did and believe it. Not that He tried to do it and now you got to do something. Listen, if it's something I got to do to get in it, I'm in trouble still. And you're in trouble still. He did it. He did it all the way. He did it completely. He came to die and pay a sin debt, and He did that. He came to save His people from their sin, and He did that. He said, it is finished. And He went to the grave. And from the grave, He's resurrected. And He's seated right now on the right hand of the Father. Brother Mike's prayer wouldn't have gotten out of this room, nor any other prayers that have been offered, if it had not been for Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And sometimes when you feel so low and out of it that there's no help for you, I want you to remember you have a friend in Jesus who's sitting on the right hand of the Father, that though you may not even know what to pray and you can only cry, Lord, save me, Lord, help me, He hears the prayer and He answers that and supplies those things we need in this world. And He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming again. Isn't that good news tonight? He's coming again. The Lord's coming. The scoffer said, well, where is He? Well, He's coming when He's ready to come. He knows the day and He knows the hour, and He's coming. He could be coming for us in death, in the sense we leave this world. And in death, if we leave this world, it's not a bad thing, because when that time comes, we'll see Him face to face and we'll go home to be with Him. And for some of us, we may not live till He comes again, but it could happen before we get here, get out of this building tonight. The Lord could return. We're waiting on His return. He said, if I go away, and He is, if I go and prepare a place for you, what He's saying is, sure as I go to the cross and pay that sin debt and go home to the Father, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to gather every single thing I paid for, which means He's going to have the body and the soul and the spirit of every one of God's children with Him in heaven forever and ever and ever. And that's why when we stand before a congregation who's just lost a loved one, we can tell them about a place the Lord has prepared. See, there's a land that is fairer than day, and there is a real place called heaven that He's made for His people. Many of God's children are already at home. And one day He's going to come take us out of this old troubled world. And in the meantime, He said, let not your heart be troubled. And He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And there's Brother Thomas doubting as he did many times. And listen, Thomas is not so far from all of us. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Have you ever been in one of those places in your life that just doesn't seem to be working out, and you just get confused about it, and you think, man, things are this. I've just been mistaken. This is a mess. And what you need is a good dose of the truth again. I need to hear the gospel again. I need to get to church again. I need to talk to my brethren again. I need to pray with my brethren. Pray for one for another. Listen, Brother Thomas, who was an apostle, was there. And you would think after this, Thomas would never doubt again. And yet we read even after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was Thomas who said, I'll not believe until I put my hands into the nail prints and put my hand into His side and I touch the nail prints. I will not believe. And there he spent 8 days in unbelief. Do you think that meant he wasn't a child of God? I believe he was just as much a child of God. But I'll tell you what, he wasn't happy until he was blessed to see and understand. Now, where are we tonight? See, there's not anything you can do or I can do to lose or gain being a little child of God. But there sure is some things we can do to fail to enjoy that rest and that peace and to live in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. You see, when God called us out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light, He called us to live a life praising the Lord and honoring Him. And by the way, that's absolutely the only and the best way to live in this world. And your life just takes on a whole new meaning. You lose your life so that you can find it. And he that finds his life loses it. What does that mean? That means if you find it, you lose it. That means if I try to live for myself, I lose out on the blessings of living my life in a way to honor and glorify the Lord, and I lose the peace and the rest and the joy. Have you seen? Have you had enough of this old world? Have you had enough and seen that it just makes you sick? I mean, you seem like, well, I want to go out and have. I've had so much of so-called good times in this world that I got sick from it. Just made me sick. And what I found in walking and following the Lord, you can incline yourself in His and you find joy, and it gets sweeter and sweeter. And the more you read His Word, the more you want to read it. But you get away from it for a while, and you don't realize that you're missing it. And it gets the whole world gets cold, and things get dark. And the more you come to church, the more you're able to feed on the Word of God, the better it is, the more it grows, and the more you need it. And all the messages you hear in this world, they can depress you, can't they? Just turn on the news. Doesn't matter which station. You can get depressed quick. But you get in this book, you won't get depressed. It'll encourage you. Now, what happens to us, though, sometimes we get so full of that stuff out there that we get carnally minded, and we become like Thomas. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Now get this. He did not say, I am a way, did he? He said, I am the way. You know why he said, I am the way? Because he's the only way. There isn't any other way. There is no other name among men, given among men, under heaven, whereby we must be saved in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. There is no other one. There is no other Savior. You can line up all the prophets. You can line up all of the so-called men, religious men of this world. You can line them all up. Let me tell you, there is salvation in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is not a way. He's the way. If He had not died on the tree of the cross, we would not be saved. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Which he's saying, if there's any way for mankind to be saved other than me going to the cross, Lord, let it be. And the fact of the matter is the Lord heard his prayer, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Jesus went to the cross because there was no other way for his people to be saved. No other way for you and me to get to heaven. There is not only no other way, that's the only way you need. He doesn't need my help, doesn't need your help. He did it. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad he did it? I'm glad he's not asking us to help. Whew. Aren't you glad the preacher doesn't have anything to do with it? Because, you know, sometimes he limps up in the stand. We can't even depend on men. Men will let you down. You can depend on that. They will let you down, the best of them. Even mama and dad. So when my mother and daddy forsake me, you say, what do you mean they're going to forsake me? They may mean well, but there'll be a time they can't help you. Moms and dads can't always be there and help you. They may want to, but they don't have wisdom enough or power enough or strength enough. But the psalmist said, when my mother and my father forsake me, then will the Lord take me up. I'm telling you, he has the power, and he won't ever lose any. When he uses his power over here, he doesn't have any less power. You say, I need forgiveness for my brethren. Listen, he's able to give you the forgiveness you need for your brethren. And those of you who have experienced that know I'm telling you the truth. He'll allow you to be able to forgive folks of things you thought you could never forgive them of. Things you thought, I'm going to hold that till I die. Aren't you glad he was able to let you be free of that? And he can. Listen, he will. Cause you to be sitting in an old Baptist church on a Sunday night as the temperature drops. Hearing about, I hope and pray nothing more than and less than Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, he's not a truth. He is the truth. If somebody's preaching someone else other than Jesus, they're preaching a lie. If they're not preaching Jesus, they're not preaching the truth. Jesus is verily God. Jesus is the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. He was born a Savior. He didn't grow up and become a Savior. He came as a Savior. He was sent out of heaven by his Father. He came in a covenant of grace made before the foundation of the world. There was a covenant made between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And a people were chosen and elected, and the Son was sent to save them. And he came and saved everyone that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. And Jesus finished that work, and he became and was and is our way. He is forever the way. He is the way. Listen, he's the way to heaven. He's the way to life here. He's the way that I'm going to make it. He's the way that I'm going to be able to do what the Lord would have me to do. I don't have the strength, but He is the way. He'll help me be the daddy I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be the husband I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be the pastor I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be the teacher I'm supposed to be. He'll help me be the person that I'm supposed to be. And He'll do it in such a way that He receives all the glory and the honor and the praise, and that I'll enjoy the peace and the rest of being His little servant. And thankful, you know, thankful for what He has done for me. We don't get lifted up in ourselves, because there's not anything whereof we have to boast. But our boast is in Him. He is the way. Aren't you glad He's the way? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way. Listen, Thomas, I'm the way. You don't mean you don't know the way? I'm the way, Thomas. And that's what we tell one another. You know, we get in this, what are we going to do? Listen, the Lord, that's why we go back and say, the Lord will take. The Lord, you trust Him. He'll take care of it. He'll supply it. He said, well, how can I trust Him? Use that faith He's given you. Don't lean on your own understanding. Sometimes we just want to get it all figured out, don't we? We just want to have it all figured out. The Bible teaches us to live taking it really, you know, we say one day at a time, but really it's moment by moment, step by step, minute by minute, trusting in the Lord, and, you know, be thankful for the moment He's given you and the faith that He's given you, and realize He'll continue to supply that until my time comes to leave this world, and He knows when that is. So I can just leave it in the Lord's hands. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there is no one that can come unto the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no one who can come to the Lord Jesus Christ but by the Father. And there's no one who can come to the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ unless they're born of the Spirit. And it sounds like a work of a triune God, doesn't it? Isn't it wonderful? We've got a God who is one God manifest in three persons, and we see the fullness of our salvation in the finished work of the Godhead, of all that He has done. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Philip, brother Philip, saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And I'll tell you, when Jesus walked on the face of this earth, some miraculous things occurred. He went as a guest to a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and He took that water and made wine. And I mean, He didn't make bad wine either. It was the best wine. And and there were lepers that came to Him as lepers. They left clean, whole. There were men who did not hear. He was able to touch ears and open those ears. There were eyes that were blind from birth, that He opened the eyes of the blind. Miraculous things. He said, if you don't believe me, just believe me for the work's sake. Listen, everything that was testified of Him and prophesied of Him in the Old Testament, He fulfilled them on that road to Emmaus. As those two walked along, He pointed out those things that were fulfilled in His life to them. They said, oh, did not our hearts burn while He opened unto us the Scriptures? I love to look in the Old Testament and just see how Jesus fulfilled those wonderful shadows and types that were laid out about the Messiah. And that isn't any chance about that. You see, there were those who doubted who He was, but if they'd have simply believed the Scriptures and searched the Scriptures, they would have seen that they testified of Him. He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He says, just believe me for the very work's sake. You see, Nicodemus saw something because of the work's sake. He said, we know that thou art a man sent from God, but for no man could do the things that thou doest except God be with him. See, that means Nicodemus must have known something about the Lord, didn't he? Because he understood Jesus couldn't have been anything but something special. And he came to him inquiring by night. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." After Jesus went to his Father, seated on the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Comforter. The Spirit came in power. On the day of Pentecost, he came in power. And the disciples were given great and wonderful gifts, gifts of miracles and healings and all types of things that followed those that believed until the fullness of the Scripture was given. We see that those wonderful miracles that were performed even by the apostles. And even today, as we gather together, the spiritual things the Lord gives us, I'm telling you, it's miraculous. And I've never seen anybody that I've seen the Lord heal people physically. I've seen people that were sick get better. I've seen people we prayed for that got better. And I thank the Lord for that. I believe the Lord does that. I'll tell you, I've seen also those that were spiritually blind have their eyes open and able to see things they could not see. I've seen folks that just were, that had their lives, you know people, don't you? You may be one. I hope you are one that at one time would not have wanted, and look, it wouldn't have, there's no way you would have been here. And now you're here, not only here, wanting to hear. You're praying, "Lord, bless that minister to preach. Feed me. I'm hungry. I need it." And you recognize how much you need it. And you see the hand of God on your life. And you're understanding there's miraculous things that have occurred in every one of our lives. Just think of the many times the Lord has been right there for us when we needed Him. Great things He's shown us. Now, you have every reason tonight, and I do, to believe. Believe in Him. Believe on Him. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Get this. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." And you want to see the power of the Savior, the Son of God. He didn't say, "If you ask anything in my name, I'll get the Father to do it." He said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Because you see, He was one with the Father. You just see that throughout the book. As a matter of fact, you come down a little bit farther and He says, "I will not leave you comfortless." Verse 18. "I will not leave you comfortless." This verse up that I just read in your hearing, He says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That is showing His divinity as the Son of God. He was verily God. But then you come down in the 18th verse and it shows you that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is also God and also one with Jesus Christ, because He says this, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." How does Jesus come to us? He went away, but He sends the Comforter, whom when you have the Comforter, you also have Christ in you. See, that's who the Comforter is. Isn't that wonderful? So when you have that Spirit of God, you have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when you have that, we have a mansion. You got a little mansion, a place of heavenly abode. You got a mansion before you get home to your mansion. I believe there's eternal places of abode awaiting us in heaven. I believe that in those places. I don't believe He's up there building a house, though. I don't believe He's up there hammering and nailing and getting all those things. The Bible says that the kingdom of God was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. But I'm telling you, Jesus had to shed His blood that you and I might enter into it. He had to die. I don't believe He's building another little mansion in heaven for somebody He didn't know about was coming. I believe that was all prepared. I believe it was there. I believe it awaits us. Jesus paid the price so that we might enter that. I also believe that He got little mansions for us right, not little, never a little. I say little, but a mansion right here. Places a heavenly abode where we feel His presence. Y'all have been very kind and attentive tonight. I just want you and me to follow what that says. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled." I got one verse I want to read, and then I'm going to quit. Verse 27. Actually, I'm going to read two. One of them Daddy gave me. I hope the Lord gave Daddy that to give to me.
Verse 27 of John 14 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then verse 11 of chapter 15 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And I'm telling you, when you have that joy and that rest and that peace that's in the Lord, you have a joy that's really full, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we have that by believing and trusting in the Lord. And when we go somewhere else, well, we let our heart be troubled. And I said to you, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.